Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says there in Colossians 1, verse 16, "For by him," that's Jesus Christ, our Creator, "for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Have you ever wondered about your existence? Have you ever asked the question in your life, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Not here, but why am I here in this world? What's the purpose? Many people live their life. They go through college. They go through school. They go through marriage, work. They have kids. They see their kids have kids. They eat, drink, just go through life and die. That's how they live their life. Is that what life is all about? Really, I mean, is that why we were created? Were we created just to go through the motions of life and different things and then just die? No. There's got to be more than life than just that. I want you to see the first place tonight, the reality of our existence. The Bible says we were created by him and for him. We were never ever created to live an independent life. God never created us so we can live our life without God. God never created us and said, okay, I've made you, now go multiply without me. Go live life without me. No, God intended a relationship and a fellowship. God intended to be the center of our lives and the center of everything that we do in our lives. Whether it's getting an education, whether it's marriage, whether it's work, whatever it is, God determined that he wanted to be in the center of all that we do. And so the reality of our existence was the fact that we were created by him and for him. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it for the glory of God. The Bible says, know ye not that the Lord, he is God. It is he that he hath made us, and we not ourselves. The truth of the matter is, tonight, none of us in this room will be here if it weren't for God. He is the reality of our existence. He is the purpose of life. Without God, we won't exist. Without God, we won't have a beginning. Without God, we won't have a name. And so what is the purpose of life? He is the purpose of life. The reason why we exist, the reality is because of God. He is the reality of our existence. But second of all tonight, I want you to notice the rebellion against God's plan and purpose. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof," notice this, "thou shalt surely die." And the Bible says, continues in Genesis 3 and verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." The rebellion against God's plan and purpose. The rebellion against God himself. God gave a simple command and she disobeyed right from the beginning. God had given to man one command, just one, and that command was broken. Broken, and so now we see the ruin of humanity. Every single person that is born in Adam has inherited the curse of death in their lives. Every single person is now cursed because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve. We are inherited this sinful nature, and now we are rebels, not only by nature, but by choice. The truth of the matter is, no one wakes up in the morning with an appetite for God. No one does that. It's in our flesh. No one has the appetite for God. This is what people think about God today. This is what they think. Some people, not all, when they're faced with the truth, this tract that I got in my hand that says God loves you is torn into two. That's what they think about God, and that's because of the ruin of humanity. The curse of death, not only physically, but spiritually. The Bible says we are all like sheep gone astray. Everyone has turned to their own ways. The truth of the matter is, today when you have a problem, a sin problem, people try to shift that blame to someone else. Eve tried to shift that blame when she was caught in her sin and rebelling against God. And she said, well, the devil made me do it. And then Adam was confronted with his sin. And Adam said, well, Eve made me do it. She gave me of that fruit. And not only that, he tried to blame God himself. He said, it's the woman that you gave me. I'm the way I am because you made me like this. No. You have a choice. And we willingly disobey God every day. I know we've inherited that nature, but now when people are confronted with the truth, they willingly reject it. This is what they think about it. They tear the message of hope away and they don't want nothing to do with it. How would you respond today? The ruin of humanity. Rejection of God. For as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We have the curse of death reigning in our bodies. From one man sin entered into the world and then a death because of sin. You and I, my friend, today, sin is reigning in our bodies and we're dying. Now the ruling. Not only the reality and the rebellion and the rule and the ruin of humanity, but notice the ruling. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And so sin brings forth death, the final judgment to come. Anyone outside of Christ will die on their sin and will be paying for their own sin in the lake of fire. That's the ruling of humanity. You see, God has to judge sin. God has to deal with rebellion. He can't let sin go. He needs to deal with it. He needs to judge sin. And so God is perfect. And God is not only perfect, but righteous and is a good judge. And you look at people today and you say, well, you know, God is a wonderful, wonderful God. He's going to let me in sin. Now, he's going to let me in heaven and he's going to forgive my sin. And that's true. But the way he has planned for that was through the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only through the ruling, not only see the ruling of humanity, now see the redemption of God's perfect plan to be restored. The redemption that was the price, that means that was paid for humanity. Now, death has come upon all men, so they lie in their sin and they're going to die in their sin. But God had planned a redemption, that means a saving for humanity. He came all the way from heaven and became a man to go on a cross to die for our sin. Does that do something for your heart? For some people today, even Christians today, oh yeah, yeah, I know he dies for my sin. Isn't that great? Well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to live your life now? What are you going to do about this redemption? The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being justified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. Justified means just, to stand innocent before God. And God had died on the cross to make you free from the penalty of sin. He wants to justify you. He wants to free you from the bondage of sin. He wants to make you stand right before God. See, God was made like a sinner. He that knew no sin was made like sin to take our penalty, our judgment. That's redemption. The Bible says also that he was a ransom. The Bible says this, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself, notice this, a ransom for all. That's everyone. That includes you here today. Jesus Christ was the mediator, gripping the hand of God and the hand of sinners and bringing them together at that cross, at that moment. He nailed our sin to the cross. That's redemption. That's a ransom. Jesus paying the debt that you and I cannot pay. Paying our fine. For the wages of sin is death. He was going through the penalty of death for you and for me. He took our place on that cross, the redemption. But I want you to see also now the received. The Bible says this, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But he goes on to say, as many as received him, to them gave ye power, or the authority, become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This redemption is for all, but not everyone will receive him. Did you know the Bible says, for the wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Did you know that only a few find it? Not because God doesn't want everyone to go in, but there's only that few that will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you know, let me say this to you tonight. If you haven't trusted God or received God with all your heart, you can do it today. The Bible says this, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Can I just say this to you? This believe on Jesus is not just the head knowledge. It's not just to know about him. Is this not to know about, yes, he died and he rose again the third day. That's just not enough. The devil knows about that. The devil knows about the gospel. The devil believe that there's one God, but they fear and tremble. No, this belief is more than just head knowledge. It's a believing in the heart. It's the trust, depend upon, to commit to rest in his finished work. Did you know that good works can't save you? It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Many people try to receive Christ, but try to do good and do this and do that. I'm not asking you today if you go to a church. I'm not asking you today if you own a Bible. I'm not asking you here today if you've ever said a sinner's prayer. I'm asking you here today, have you really received Jesus Christ with all your heart? That's what matters. What matters is receiving Jesus Christ with all your heart. It's not about a Christian name. It's not about having good Christian morals, trying my best to keep the commandments. Paul the Apostle says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Friend, I'm going to say this tonight. Jesus never died on the cross for nothing. He died to free you from the penalty of sin. He gave his life as a ransom because he loves you. He shed his own blood on that cross. Why? Because he loves you. He paid it all. And there's nothing that we can do to add or take away from that. He said on that cross, it is finished. He was buying back the purpose of life again. And what are you going to do about it? You can either receive it or you can reject it. And that's the last point, the rejection of God's plan and purpose. There's those that receive the great redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's those that reject the great purpose of which God has given us through Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you choose to reject God's gift of forgiveness and you want to continue to live in your rebellious ways, you will end up paying for your own sin in hell. But God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that, and he proved that on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in 1 Peter, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone, he wants to turn back and come back to God through Jesus Christ. Do you know why people are dying right now and heading to hell? Do you know why? Because they rejected God's love. It's not because God wanted them to go there, but because they willfully, again, by choice, not just by nature now, but by choice, they willfully said to God, thank you very much, but no thanks. The rejection of God's plan and purpose. The rejection of God's plan and purpose will only send you to judgment. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My question here today is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you receive him, or will you reject him? Will you receive him with all your heart and have new life with Christ and let him direct your steps and have your restoration with God back again? Listen, the truth of the matter is, that's the reality of life. This is why we're here. We are here to walk with God. We're here to be restored with God. Not only God wants us to save us from the judgment to come, but he wants to restore our relationship with God again, that we may walk with him, have fellowship with him. What a selfish thing it is just to say, God, yeah, all I want is for you to pay for my sin. I just want out of hell, but I want to go continue to live my life like the world. That's selfish. That's not true repentance. Repentance is coming back, trusting on the Savior, and then following the Lord, Jesus Christ. Repentance is to have a change of mind and heart toward my sin and toward the Savior, realizing that I'm a great sinner in need of a great Savior, realizing that the reality of life, I was created for God. I wasn't created to live independently from God. These people that will stand today and declare their testimony and follow the Lord in baptism will show you the picture of the gospel, of what God had already done, his death, burial, and resurrection. That will show you a picture of a new life in Christ, a picture that they've been dead in Christ and buried in Christ, but also risen with Christ, a new life in Christ. And by the way, that's what happens, or that's what should happen, when a Christian comes to Christ. They want to identify with him, and they want to walk with him, and have the purpose in life renewed again, and have true fellowship with God. C.H. Spurgeon told a story about a man. He was confronted by another Christian man, and he said, are you a Christian, sir? He said, absolutely, I'm a Christian. He says, oh, if you're a Christian, then you go to a nice local church, and you're committed to that church. He goes, oh, no such thing. The thief on the cross, he wasn't going to a local church, and he went to heaven. He goes, oh, okay. Well, I'm sure that you'd want to follow the Lord in baptism. That's a command of the Lord, and identify that you have been saved, and just to publicly confess to the world that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, oh, no, not at all, not at all. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. He says, oh. He says, okay, well, I'm sure that you demonstrate your commitment and your faithfulness to God in some way, perhaps by giving or of your time, of your treasures, or something to the Lord. He goes, the thief on the cross. The man was troubled. He says, it seems to me, my friend, that you have great intimate relationship with this thief, with this dying thief. It seems to me is that's all that you want to learn out of the Bible is about this thief, this dying thief. But there's a difference between you and him. And he says, what is that difference? He said, he's a dying faith and you're a living one. The truth of the matter is, my friend, here tonight, if we really say that we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we'll commit our lives to follow him. Amen. It's not that we're committing our lives to follow him so we can go to heaven. He's already paid that. He's already done that on the cross. But we're committing our lives to him, to follow him. Because he's not only our Savior, when he becomes our Savior, he becomes our Lord. And we want to follow him. I really believe a true mark of a Christian is to have a great desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Well, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment tonight just to respond to that. And while you are thinking about this message tonight, I'll have the baptism candidates to come and get ready. I want to ask you a question tonight with all heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you this question tonight. If you die tonight, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know where you're going to go? I'm not saying do you go to a local church. I'm not saying even if you've been baptized. I'm saying here tonight, do you know where you'd go? Do you know who you've believed? You say, Charlie, I really don't know. I'm not 100%. I don't really know that I'd go to heaven. I'd hope so. Well, do you know tonight that you can know so? You say, I want to know tonight. I want to get this. I want to be serious about the things of God. And right now, I really don't know that I'd go to heaven. But I surely want to know. Anyone like that, you can lift up a hand and you say, please pray for me. Tonight, I want to make a decision that I want to find my assurance of salvation. Anyone like that? So I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to be sure tonight. Anyone like that?